You did a very good job, Bobby. I really enjoyed your presentation. I got a question. If I preach Joseph is a type of Christ, somebody's going to stop me now and they're going to say, no, now that's just not right. And he was not a type of Christ. And I say, okay, he was a parallel. And they say, okay, that's better. What really changed, other than just the word that I'm using, is what's the danger, if there is one, of calling a parallel a type when I should have called it a parallel all along? What's the, the danger, if there is one, of misusing the word type?
I don't think that's a danger, George. I don't. Like I think Mike said, you know, these sessions here are kind of kicking things around, reading the literature, seeing what these guys are supposed to know all this stuff technically. But no, George, there's no danger in it. It's just discussion, just for distinction purposes. None at all. At least I don't see any.
Thanks, Brother Bobby. I really enjoyed that. I appreciate your chart on the type parallel allegory and the items that are listed to determine whether there's a type. This is kind of along the lines of what Dad just asked. I think about Acts chapter 7 in Stephen's sermon.
Mm-hmm.
He's being accused of blaspheming Moses and God. And so he gives this long sermon in defense and trying to convict the people that Jesus is Christ. He culminates it with saying, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And in that, he calls up three examples. He calls up Abraham, Joseph, and Moses. And three of his main points about Joseph is that he was rejected by his brethren. He was exalted by God. And after he was exalted, his brothers recognized him. And the passage seems to be teaching that Jesus was rejected by the Jews, he's been exalted by God, and they had better recognize him if they want to receive salvation. And so it seems like Acts chapter 7, in my mind, is presenting a type, anti-type parallel by implicit teaching. Just for thought on that. I've struggled with that one before because, like your list of things, it looks like there's so many parallels in the lives that I can recognize, but one of the things I think about in type anti-type is the Bible drawing this parallel, or am I just recognizing parallel? And Acts chapter 7 in my mind seems to be saying these parallels were intended and you have to recognize the relationship and it was part of a judgment scene.
Nathan, that's a great passage and I agree with you that right within that passage you have this type anti-type relationship that's in that sermon. And that's along the line of, if you notice, I didn't really push those guidelines too much because I knew that I didn't really agree myself, but just for discussion. But yes, right there in that, you have the type and the type in there. And that's akin to what Jesus did when he reached back and he said, just as Jonah was in the whale, he made it, the relationship, though it wasn't there alone. Right there, you have both in one verse. That's a great passage.
I think it goes along with your chart. You have the escalation that you're talking about. You have the natural connection. You have the biblical
yes.
connection. I think those things do work.
Right. Thank you.
Alan Bonifay.
That was very interesting, Bobby. One thing I think that needs to be kept in mind about these types is that they must not be overstretched. Now, Adam is clearly a type of Christ, as you mentioned, Romans 5 says he is, but there is only one aspect about Adam which is a type of Christ, according to Romans 5, and that is what Adam did affected the whole human race, and what Jesus did affected the whole human race. But that doesn't mean that everything about Adam's life is a type of Christ. And so we have to not overstretch these things. And then I wanted to ask you, maybe I misunderstood, but in those guidelines, the last one where you said maybe it's in the New Testament, maybe it's not. I mean, maybe an inspired writer said it and maybe he didn't. I think something like that. If I was understanding what you were saying, you were talking about, did the Old Testament itself say that this was a type? But it looks to me like unless a New Testament writer or an Old Testament writer gives some indication that something is a type, we're on pretty thin ice saying that God gave this as a pattern of something in the New Testament. But a retroactive statement in the New Testament, I mean, that's by inspiration too, and so that looks like it is designated as a type. Like, for instance, the Old Testament doesn't say anything to indicate Adam is a type of Christ.
Right.
But he was, because Paul said he was.
Well, I think what I meant to say is that it's designated as such in the New Testament. This guy said that he was real strict in saying if it's not designated as such in the New Testament, period, it's not a type. But Romans 5:14, I mean, yes, that's designated. He just said if it's not, it can't be a type. If I understand the question.
Well, I think there are some passages. Well, that might be right. Like, for instance, when in the New Testament, out of Egypt have I called my son, is said to be a type of Christ. But when you look at the passage in Hosea, Hosea seems to be clearly talking about Israel being called out of Egypt. And Matthew seems to be talking about Jesus coming out of Egypt. But it looks like Hosea is the bridge there.
Yeah.
And he's saying that that historical event is a type of something that's going to happen, and Matthew confirms it. But still, there's some inspiration giving indication there that something was going on more than ordinary.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to ask a couple of clarifying questions. I'm going to quote you here. I wrote it down just to make sure, and you tell me if this is right.
Okay.
Sometimes Jesus designates something as a type that was not originally the intent of that.
Oh, I misspoke on that.
Okay, I just wanted to verify that. So you're saying that every Old Testament type was originally intended to be a type by God, or that later Jesus went back and looked at something and just picked it and made it into a type?
I'm saying that if there is a prefiguring element to it, then it's a type. There can be a prefiguring element that is retroactively put to it that was not there, and that makes an Old Testament passage that didn't have any foreshadowing to it. And makes it a type.
That's the part.
Yeah.
So what about criteria 3 and 5 there? It says, is it divinely designed by God?
Well.
And that's the criteria where I was looking at, and it seemed to contradict a little bit. But I was just trying to straighten it out.
Well, I had a little problem with that too, but I was trying to put what this guy was, what was there. But I think what he means by that is that Scripture is inspired by God. If it's Scripture, it's inspired by God. But he was looking for there's something in the passage itself that would point toward that. And in my mind, if it's a Scripture, it's divinely inspired. Mm-hmm. And that meets that criteria, whether there's a foreshadowing element to it or not, it's still divinely inspired. So it's kind of, these two really are kind of dovetail. See that? A real historical event, and that divinely inspired. So is that not?
I think I halfway get I think I understand what you were saying. That's what I was trying to get. Okay. So I got that.
Now, I don't put myself as an expert at this. I learned a tremendous amount just doing this.
Oh, I'm not an expert either.
But that's kind of how I understand it.
I was just going to ask you one other follow-up question. If the New Testament has to designate something as a type, which I believe it does, does the Bible have to say in the New Testament explicitly, like in 1 Peter 1 or 3:20, this was a type?
No,
or can it imply?
It could be implied.
Can you give an example of one?
I think, let's see offhand. Oh, that's implied. Oh, yeah. What Nathan said, it's implied there. I had some others written down, but I can't find my sheet for that question. But yeah, I can give you the list. You can.
This is how I've looked at it in the past. I don't know if this is helpful, but there were events or people or things in the Old Testament that when the story is initially told, you don't recognize it as a type, but it's placed there so that it can be recognized later as a type. And when a New Testament writer recognizes an Old Testament type, he's not adding meaning to the Old Testament that wasn't originally there. He's identifying what was there and why it was put there. Like Melchizedek, when you first read a story, you think, why is this in here? We get to Psalm 110, and you realize this has something to do with the Messiah, and you get to Hebrews, and this was about the Messiah.
Yeah.
And so nothing was added there. It was there, it just wasn't recognized in the original passage. And then an implicit type, I think about to Brother Allen's point about Adam. You can't just make everything about Adam typological, but there are some other implied types about Adam too. For instance, Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Adam was made in the image of God, and the new Adam comes to be the image of God. He is greater than Adam. He is a greater manifestation of the image.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
George is next. Nathan just, okay.
Thank you, brother, for your in-depth research and your presentation. I appreciate it very much. It's actually a great segue into my question when he quoted over there in Colossians about Adam. You mentioned in Romans 5:14, and I think, Bobby, you correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think I heard you say you wasn't sure if you had a relation scripture from the Old Testament that sort of did the type anti-type on that, or I'm not, maybe I was. So I thought of Genesis 1:27, where the Bible talks about, he created a male and female, and he created them in the image of God. And so I was thinking that might be that passage that creates that relationship, connection, and type and anti-type. And I'm really asking that as a question.
Yes.
Would you consider that a...
Yes.
Okay. And then I just have an observation. I'm really glad that you went to Hebrews 11:13, and you pondered this thought about, and I agree with you, and perhaps we're wrong, but I agree with you that that what the Hebrew writer is suggesting there is they did, in faith, he's established this great group of class of people in faith. Some he names by name, about 10, I believe, and some he doesn't. He says some are torn up, you know, he doesn't name them by name. And when he gets to this, or when he's talking about this, they're seeking this country and they see these things afar off. The observation in connection to that is what he says at the end of the chapter. And I'll read it if I can get to it here. He says, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Really? And then we read, God having provided something better for us, antitype, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. That's almost like, wow, the definition of what we see, the Old Testament and New Testament, the type and antitype. It's the full completion of it, but it's the expression of it in faith in Christ. That's at least the way I sort of look at that.
That's how I look at it.